Do you feel guilty and unworthy? Then come. Do you feel sinful and condemned? Then come. Do you feel ashamed and rejected? Still, you may come. You may come because God is gracious and long-suffering, full of mercy, and ready to forgive. That is the grace way. What do you do when you feel guilty over some real or imagined wrong? Your response is of great significance. The feeling of guilt is a safety factor for you. It is a kind of gauge to monitor your lifestyle. By it, you are approved or disapproved, and without it, you could go into the worst of sins, which would bring great harm to yourself and to those you love, and not know that it was a wrong course to follow. He who does not respond correctly to feelings of guilt is as bad off as one who is beyond such feelings. I suggest three principles which will guide you in responding to guilt in the right way. First, recognize feelings of guilt as the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, "When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now, what does that mean? It means one part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our world today is to deal with the issue of sin and guilt. He will reprove, that is, present convincing proof to the world concerning the subjects of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He will convince the world of the sinfulness of unbelief, of the kind of righteousness acceptable to God, and of the certainty of judgment on sin and sinners. Now, why would He do that? Because God is concerned with reclaiming the wandering, forgiving the guilty, saving the lost, and blessing all of those who come to Him through faith in Jesus. When you are convicted of personal guilt, do not blame it on the preacher or some other person. Accept it as the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. It is proof that God loves you too much to leave you alone so long as you have any unforgiven sin. The Holy Spirit is God's witness of the guilt of sin and its remedy through the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. His conviction may feel like a sword thrust into your heart, but it is the wound which will lead to healing. He causes sorrow in sin that He might give you joy in forgiveness. Understand, therefore, that conviction is the work of God's own Holy Spirit in your heart to call you to Jesus Christ for relief. Second, let the conviction of the Holy Spirit lead you to godly sorrow. I read these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Do you realize the two kinds of sorrow mentioned in these verses? First, there is godly sorrow. Then, there is the sorrow of the world. Now, what is the difference? Godly sorrow is from God. It is the result of the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. It leads to repentance, and repentance leads to salvation. But the sorrow of the world is remorse, not repentance. It leads to no improvement. It ends in death because it does not turn the penitent sinner toward God, in whom alone there is hope. The sorrow of the world regrets that one has gotten caught in his sin. He may very well do the same thing again, with delight, if he had opportunity and was sure he could get away from it. But the love for the sin still lives in his heart. He is sorry only that it turned out wrong for him and he has to pay the consequences. It is remorse, not repentance. Godly sorrow, on the other hand, is Godward in its very nature. It comes from God by the conviction of the Holy Spirit and leads one to God. It is sorrow that one has sinned against the holiness of God. It means the love of sin has died in one's heart. It means he had rather have God than continue any longer in sin. So that person turns to God with a resolve to be done with his sin. He asks God forgiveness for all the sins that are past, and he requests his help for all of life in the future. That is why the guilt aroused by the convicting work of the Holy Spirit is designed with grace at its very heart and with salvation for its end. Third, remember the message of grace when you feel guilty. Grace is a precious word used in Holy Scripture. It means favor, and it's extended where there is no merit to deserve it. In no wise do man's works put an obligation on God to receive him in grace, for the essence of the doctrine of grace is that God is for us. He takes our place in suffering our punishment for sin in the sacrifice of his only begotten Son. He shows loving kindness to us rather than judgment upon us because of what Jesus has done. And he is kind to all who trust Jesus. Therefore, the message of grace is not a call to obedience. It is rather an offer of salvation in spite of our disobedience. It is God's goodness to us in the absence of our merit and in the presence of our demerit. If you came to God feeling worthy to meet him, he could not deal with you in grace. He would have to deal with you in justice on the basis of merit. But when you come with a sense of guilt and need, asking him to relieve you just because you are helpless without him, he meets you in grace and he rescues you. The writer of one of our great Christian hymns caught the idea in the words, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." That is the way to come. Do you feel guilty and unworthy? Then come. Do you feel sinful and condemned? Come. Do you feel ashamed and rejected? Still, you may come. You may come without reformation, works of merit, or credentials of holiness. You may come because God is gracious and long-suffering, full of mercy and ready to forgive. That is the grace way. Now, how does one come? Come believing that Jesus can forgive you because of what he did in his death and resurrection. Come believing that Jesus will forgive you because he promised to do so if you would ask. Come believing that Jesus does now forgive you because you confess your sins and ask for his forgiveness. And with your belief, turn to him by an act of your will. Trust him to forgive your sins and relieve your guilt. He will do it. He has promised, and he never fails. I encourage you to respond to feelings of guilt by recognizing the conviction of the Holy Spirit, moving to true repentance, and believing the message of grace. Now, dear Father, these words are sent out with the earnest prayer and desire that somebody who's bearing the burden of guilt may receive the words and turn to Christ and be forgiven right now. And we ask this in the name of our Savior. Amen.